You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
What in God's name are we doing? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Holy crap, I don't know who the hell we think we are when we do something like that.
It's 8 o'clock on Monday night on the horn. That must mean this is Ensign Serious. I'm your host, Patrick Davis. With me, as always, the great Anthony White. And, of course, across the glass, Ty Henderson. We got a big show for you today. We're, of course, going to talk a little NFL because you can't not talk the NFL. It's a legal right in sports in Texas. You got to talk football. We're going to talk NBA. Things are heating up in the NBA.
Are they?
No, or they're not. They're getting colder, actually. I think we passed it now. Of course, the Black Sports Spotlight, the top shelf, bottom shelf, question of the week, and Instant Serious News all coming up on the show today. But let's start off with the best thing you saw this weekend. Anthony, what do you got for me?
So last week I gave Ty the floor. And I'm gonna
don't have to bring them into this.
I'm going to be nice to him this week and just let him sulk in his misery.
You didn't see anything good this weekend.
I watched F1 with my boy, finally, for the first time. And our driver did not finish the race, Charles Leclerc, but it was still fun to watch it with him. And then UFC finally came back. Caitlin Vieira upset Holmes in a split decision. And so she'll have a title shot against Nunez and Pena. So that's what I saw.
There you go. Astros also beat the Rangers. It's always fun when you get to watch a little bit because Rangers are on more TV stations here than the Astros are. So you can watch a little Astros baseball. They win the series, at least this series, against the Rangers.
Yeah.
So they're that early lead in the Silver Boot series.
The Silver Boot series.
As well, it was always when it was interleague, they called it more. It was like you win the Silver Boot. Now it's still called that, but it's, you know, now they're going to play a bunch of times in a season as opposed to like one series a year. But yes, that was a good one. Austin FC gets a win, and then they get a tie.
A tie. And our goalie started off the game real good. He gave the ball right back to the other team and immediately scored. And that was the game, pretty much. But I will say this, we did come back. We were down 2-0.
But didn't they throw out two guys?
I didn't watch it.
I think they threw out two guys. Yeah. I think they threw out two guys in Orlando, and that's how there was two.
They were down to
They were down to nine guys. So I think there's a little bit that people in Orlando were not thrilled about it. The Astros, as we said earlier, win the series 3-1 over the weekend. They also had a big game against the Red Sox.
Big inning.
A big inning. I mean, but it was a big game and a big inning, and at 5 home runs in the second. Odorizzi, who looked like he got shot when going to first base the other day.
That was bad.
Comes out and turns out it's not that bad.
It was just a Charlie horse.
And he said, no, it was a...
it was more than that.
Like I don't even know what to call it, but they were like, he sprained ligaments in his ankle, but he did not pop his Achilles, which is what he thought he did.
Yeah.
Because he said he felt a pop when he went, and that's why he went down. Then he was like, yeah, the whole stretcher thing was a bit much.
Extra.
Like, they should have just grabbed him and had him hop off. But he didn't want to do that. But, yeah, that was a little bit much. But I'm like, if he throws at you and, like, hits you, if you're running, like, if you're the batter, don't you just throw your bat down and then go to run to him and immediately fall over and just lay on the ground?
That's messed
up. And just get back at him and be like, oh, I think my season's over. I'm fine. pulling a Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
My career is over. My ankle. I'm back.
I mean, he is out for today.
He is out today. So. But it was like those ankle injuries. People like, I know in other sports, ankle injuries tend to be a lot worse because you're a lot more taped up and you're just like, if you roll your ankle, you rolled it really bad. In basketball, you roll your ankle probably, I don't know, once every 2 to 3 games, depending on the severity of it. Like, you just do a little roll every once in a while, and then you'll have a really bad one every once in a while. That one, when he hit, I was like, that looked kind of bad, but it didn't look terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to swell up afterwards. But when he went down and he's on the ground yelling, I'm like, dude, you've done this like 50 times in your life. You know it's not as bad as you're making it out to be, but you want to get like a flagrant. And so you're really selling it so you can try and get a flagrant foul on a guy, even though when you look back at it, there's no chance of getting a flagrant on it. But that's what he wants, because all the guys like Marcus Smart and Draymond and all
I was going to say that's the league now, though.
But that's all the defensive players, like all the stoppers, have to be the guys that are like, I'm smarter than I'll find a way around it to cheat. Mm. And you're like, it's just, And I don't. That's why I get mad when I see everybody afterwards rewarding him by going like, "What? Just pure heart." I'm like, he wasn't hurt that bad. Like, he sprained his ankle. Most guys that come back, the problem is most guys would have gotten up immediately and hobbled over to the bench and been like, oh, I'm going to try and work it off. And because he laid on the ground like he had, his career was over, that people are like, what a heart on that guy. No, he's a showman. He's a showman. So stop giving these guys.
I got to say, I did not see a rant coming this early.
It makes me, it's because I know he just won that like a couple hours ago. They just put him out for the hustle play. And like, this guy's all heart. And you're like, no, he's all show. And like, look, the guy is good and he plays good basketball. But it drives me nuts that so many people that complain about players flailing, complain about players yelling at the refs. Mm-hmm. And then you get a guy that doesn't do it and he gets none of the accolades because they're like, well, he's clearly not punching a ref in the face and on the ground crying like his career's over every 10 minutes. So he clearly doesn't have the heart of anybody else. You're like, no, he just isn't he's not trying to show everybody up. He's doing exactly what you said. It's people just, they don't know what they want, Anthony. They don't know what they want. I know what I do want. Jeremy Peña, number one in wins above replacement. My all MLB shortstop. Saw that stat this weekend. Very cool thing. Jeremy Peña. It's looking more and more in the right now that you're like, look, we couldn't afford to pay Carlos Correa what he wanted.
Right.
We knew we had another guy. We couldn't tell you that at the time because then it looks like we look like a real jerk. We're like, guys, don't worry. We got another shortstop. But it's turning out to look pretty good right now. It's going to, of course, matter if he can continue this all season long, how many slumps there is. It's also going to depend on how his injuries go throughout the season, how many games he's able to play. And, of course, once you get to the playoffs, what he's able to do in the playoffs, because that's where Carlos Correa really shined a lot, was in the playoffs. A little bit of news about the Lakers before we get to NFL. They're looking for the head coaching job.
Right.
Juwan Howard has said he's not going in for it.
I'm good.
Which, I mean, he's at this point, you're like, look, man, I still got another year or two on this Michigan thing to see if I can turn it around.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know, slapped enough assistant coaches
to
get me kicked out.
At least my Michigan boys can still have a head coach.
So out of everybody who's a finalist for the head coaching job at the Lakers right now, who's your best fit?
So it just depends. Stouts, if they're in win now mode, which I don't know what that means with this team.
They have to be in win now. They have LeBron.
I know. But Phil's been saying trade LeBron. Anyways, Darvin Ham is the, if you rebuild, and I've been hearing Darvin Ham is the choice of LeBron. So if he stays, that's going to be our next head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I go with Darvin Ham because he's the only one I think that might be able to get Westbrook to work. I think all these, if you're saying an older guy who's going to come in there and try and get Westbrook to fit in this, because you're going to have to get Westbrook to change his game. He has to change his game. Mm-hmm. There is no him fitting in of him not passing the ball.
Yeah.
And so you have to get somebody in there and go, hey, man, I don't care. We're going to go head-to-head and we'll, you know, I'm an ex-player. We'll go. You may be listening to me because I'm an ex-player. But I think any of these guys that are just going to come in as coaches like a Terry Stotts or someone like that, he's not going to listen to him.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have the exact same problems. Let's talk a little NFL before we get to the break. There is a couple news, a couple pieces of news we'll get to. The Browns just added Jadeveon Clowney back. He re-signed over there. He turned out multiple offers. But he decides to go back to the Browns. Is this a good move for Jadeveon Clowney, a good move for the Browns?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good move more for the Browns because Clowney gave up millions of dollars to play elsewhere. So I like it. I think it's a good team. I think he sees the potential of that team.
Now, we do. Like, do you think?
Do you think
Deshaun Watson plays this year?
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing a lot for this season, and I don't think he plays this year.
I think he plays by the end of the season.
I don't know. Once he admitted that girl was crying after the visage, I think that might have been the, this seems a little bit more real now. When you're like, I apologize to her because she was crying at the end. Like, whoa!
That's bad.
Anyone trying to defend you right now has got to be like, whoa.
Come on, man.
That's one of them?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't know about the rest. So, there's... After that, I think now there's a new system where Roger Goodell is not the guy handing down the punishment. He only has appeals.
Outside source.
And if you're going on outside source, this may be a very bad suspension. I know the owners will very much want him to be suspended for the entire year because they already hate Haslam for giving him the fully guaranteed contract. So, it's going to be interesting because if he's out, then you still have the Baker Mayfield situation, but I know they're going to try and, he's not playing there. But then Jacoby Brissett, what he's able to do, it's just interesting.
But Jacoby has been a decent fill-in when he's needed to. When he was in with the Colts, he did decent, right?
No, I get that, but I don't think this team is a playoff team with Jacoby Brissett. Even with everything else they've got, I'm not sure they're a playoff team. They're in a division where they're going to have to go up against other good teams. So I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that. We'll say Philip Lindsay signed with the Colts. James Bradberry really sticking it to the Giants. James Bradberry's dead money for the Giants is less than he is making from the Eagles.
That's wild.
I believe his dead money is $11 million for the Giants right now. And the Eagles are signing him for, what, 7.5?
Yeah.
So he is – the Eagles get a real steal in this one.
I mean – they're starting to look like a problem. The free agent sign and their draft picks.
I think
this could
got
be
a
really good team.
I think they have a lot of talent on this team. Yeah. I want to see them put it together before I believe it. Just because we've seen a lot of these teams, especially in the NFC East, the Eagles have done this before to get a lot of talent and then just not have the right pieces in place. Jalen Hurts has got to turn a corner.
Yeah.
For all that to come together. Nick Foles re-signs with the Colts, and then Kyler Murray skipping OTAs.
Kyler Murray and Deebo Samuel.
Deebo Samuel is not surprising because that we knew there was still an issue. Kyler Murray doesn't have a leg to stand on. Deebo Samuel had one of the best seasons of a wide receiver, like statistically ever.
Yeah, but Kyler Murray is a quarterback.
No, no, I get that. I'm just saying Kyler Murray is an overrated quarterback because he's really been bad at the end of every season.
I wouldn't say overrated. I mean, he hasn't met his potential. But
he thinks he deserves top three money in quarterbacks. Or do you think he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
No. He has
top 10 potential.
That's what I'll say.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he?
You are so anti him and Cliff Kingsbury.
I'm anti a team that has consistently failed and then doubling down on it like something's going to change. And when you give a quarterback every single weapon he could ever ask for, and then he goes, no, could you bring my buddy from college in too? Like, it blows my mind that they keep doing this. And I get
Since we're talking about consistency, constantly failing, have you updated your list of teams?
No, I'm not even worried about it until after my birthday.
Okay.
Not even thinking about it. Let's talk a little bit about some other teams that need some help. A couple of things we'll go through real quick before we go to break. The running backs, there's been a lot of teams that have running backs that need to have bounce backs years. Christian McCaffrey, of course, had a lot of injuries over the last couple of years. Derrick Henry, great year until he went out with injury.
Right. MVP year.
MVP year before he went out. Alvin Kamara dealing with off-the-field issues as well as injuries on the field last year. A lot of turnover as well.
Yeah.
No Sean McVay anymore. And, you know, we don't know a quarterback. Drew Brees coming back for him?
Yeah. Sure.
And then Ezekiel Elliott, he may be done. Which running back do you think is going to have the biggest bounce back year?
It's Henry. Henry's the easiest answer. But I would say Christian McCaffrey. I think he's had so much time off. Like, he's missed so many games these past few years. Like, he's still a healthy running back. Derrick Henry has been just worked and worked and worked to the ground. So that would be my choice.
I would say McCaffrey if it wasn't for the fact that they still don't have a quarterback there. They still don't really have an offense. They still don't really have – like, if you change the coach – if Matt Rhule was gone and they brought in a Baker Mayfield and you said, okay, we're going this different way with the team, then I go, oh, yeah, the guy's got all the talent in the world. But the problem is they're just repeating the same mistakes they made the last couple of years. And if you're going to rely heavily on Christian McCaffrey, then this is going to be a problem. And I don't know how much they're going to go with Chuba Hubbard, who didn't look great in his rookie season. I thought he was going to look a lot better. But, I mean, how much you're going to try and, you know, limit his snaps to try and keep him from getting overworked and hurt, because he is a guy that – admittedly, like, he will self-admittedly say he works out too hard sometimes, and that's what leads to these injuries, is that he's just constantly on edge. But, yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry's got to be it. We don't even know if Alvin Kamara, we don't know what the resolution is going to be with his legal issues.
Legal stuff.
And I mean, with Sean McVay and that offensive mind gone, what they'll be able to do. They have a lot of good wide receivers now, but it's still Jameis Winston.
It might open it up for him. And then Zeke, I really see like a closer to a 50-50 split with Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I'm hoping that in the offseason that Kellen Moore tries to figure out ways to like at least try to use him in different situations. But it seems right now they're basically using him in a lot as a run blocker or pass blocker because he's a really good pass blocker. And then there's using him in weird situations where it's like, hey, man, you know, we have to run the ball on second down. We just have to run it on first down.
Yeah.
So here you go. It's a play up the middle. 3-2 yards. Cool. Like, well, you're not even trying to. And then you get Tony Pollard and they go, all right, we're going to take you around the corner. And Sydney, you're like, you don't get to call all the fun plays for one guy and then just boring straight up the middle and go, well, he sucks now.
Yeah.
I think there you need to try and find ways to try and get Zeke a little bit more invested in this offense. And I mean, I don't know. I think that's partly Zeke hasn't worked out. Like, he just hasn't been healthy. He hasn't necessarily had the drive to go make that happen. Hopefully that happens in the offseason. And then looking at the other skill position we'll go with is wide receiver. And, you know, there's a lot of wide receivers that need a breakout year. Do you have anybody?
I would say Michael Pittman Jr. with the Colts. I would say that he's going to have a breakout year because of what they've done on that offense. I know it's Matt Ryan, but I think Matt Ryan was much better than their last quarterback.
With Carson Wentz. No, and Carson Wentz had a decent beginning of the year, but I agree. Matt Ryan is a really good quarterback. We've seen what he was able to do, especially in better offenses. I like that. I the one that sucks is because the one that I would say would be Jerry Jeudy, but now we don't know if Jerry Judy's going to be able to play.
Right.
Because of his off-the-field situations. So, but I mean him, where you just go, okay, well now you throw him in with a offensive mind as a coach and Russell Wilson. He's got all the talent in the world.
Yeah.
But.
What do you think about DeVonta Smith?
Because I think, you know, you get another wide receiver in there with A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
They're going to be trying to do a lot of different things. I think he'll have a good year, but I think when you get A.J. Brown in there, it automatically is going to take away a little bit of what he can do.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a break?
Okay.
We'll come back. We'll talk some NBA. We'll leave some time. You know, I don't want to leave Ty waiting too much for us to talk about his favorite subject.
Yeah.
Dallas Mavericks. We'll talk about that and the funeral procession and all the wake and all that we're planning for Dallas. We'll talk about that after the break here on the Horn 101.9 AM 1260. Back in the Serios here on the Horn. We just talked a lot of NFL, so it's time to get in the NBA. Remember, if you want to join the conversation, text line's open, 512-337-3776. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Instant Serious. I am at It's Patrick Davis. Anthony?
At Anthony L. White.
Anthony LW84.
See, I don't know.
Doesn't even know his own handle. Got to handle these things. Ty, are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I think it's a Texas guy, Ty.
I think. He says
he gets it. We're not Twitter people.
I took a class on Twitter in college, and I still don't understand it.
Wow, it's radio. We got to be accessible.
We'll work on that.
We know Bucky and Aaron is the show of the people. Ball Don't Lie is a show for the people. We're a show with people.
Yeah.
So we got to do something. It is NBA playoffs time, and boy, howdy, is it not fun?
You ruined it. It's starting to heat up.
It's starting to heat up.
This is
been, I mean, right now the Celtics are up 47-23.
Every single game in this series has been a blowout.
In both series, this and Western Conference Finals are not fun games to watch.
I was trying to avoid the other one.
I know. We'll get to it. We're going to make Ty stress out the entire time. He's just shaking his head. The NBA draft lottery is set, though.
How'd that go?
To happier things. Look, you know what? It went fine.
Yeah.
I was hoping my Spurs get the number one pick.
Yeah.
Course, but then I also saw Sacramento gets moved up, but then gets the fourth pick, and you're like, look, that's still better. You still get a good guy, but there's three stars. So if you move up, and you're like, ooh, we're gonna be we still missed out on one of the three guys that everybody says could be a generational talent.
Yeah,
and then you get like, oh, well, we get another guard that plays the exact same as everyone else we keep drafting. So you know, I think there's a lot of optimism. It was fun to see David Robinson there talking with Banchero and Holmgren and Smith and just watching, you're like, wow, these guys are really tall because David is really tall. And then
that's what you took from all that?
No, I'm just saying
NBA players, they're really tall.
No, I'm saying that those two, because I knew you knew Holmgren was really tall,
yeah.
But I think Smith and Banchero, you weren't as sure that they were, you know, all of it. Because you know, in college, a lot of times they'll be like, oh, I'm 6'9", 6'10", and you're like, man, you're like 6'6". And then you get to the NBA.
I'm 5'8", 5'9".
I'm like 6'3", 6'4". So it was interesting to see that all those guys are pretty much everything of the height they've been saying.
Yeah.
Spurs are now end up with the ninth pick. They do not move up. They also have the 20th and 25th pick.
Yep. Do you think they trade up?
I think they listen to offers and they see what they can do. Because, again, you get adding three guys that can't really do anything that are going to need the contracts in the same year isn't really a sustainable plan because you're not getting that piece that you need. So I think in the ninth pick you can definitely try and get something if there's something there that may be able to be a rotation player for you, but you're probably not getting a starter necessarily. And so it's just – it becomes if you're able to move up to somebody who needs more players now, mm-hmm. like they need – like a Lakers. The Lakers don't have anything to offer.
I was going to say, we don't have a pick.
We don't have, no, but I'm saying a team like that where they go, yeah. hey, man, we need some depth.
Yep.
So if we're able to get some young guys in here and add some depth, that could be helpful. But, yeah,
like the Dallas Mavericks?
And, I mean, we'll see if maybe Oklahoma City tries to do something and swing more picks and then keep, you know, pushing back the date that they're going to try and get it all and get all their top picks. I mean, who do you think right now, now that we know that Orlando is the number one pick, who do you think is their number one pick?
So based off of their roster and the potential, I would go with Jabari Smith. He would fit in perfectly with their roster. I don't think Chet Holmgren would as well. I think there's too much he's going to have to grow into his body. You know what I mean? He's way too skinny. But that would be my pick.
Yeah, I mean, I might go with Banchero there just because I think that he'll fit into being the number one overall pick better than anybody else. I just feel like he's a guy who seems like he wants to be the number one overall pick, would be fine being the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I think that just like as a fan, I think Jabari Smith, if he's a third pick, that pisses him off. And he has a better career.
Yeah, okay.
Because seems like he's that guy.
Yeah.
That is just, he's going to be the chip on the shoulder guy.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to see him go to like three just to blow it up. But then that ends up with him on the Rockets. So we don't want that either.
Yeah, poor guy.
No, because I don't want the Rockets to be really good. And so we'll let him fall to four and just go off to Sacramento and throw away his career. The NBA All-Defensive Team. Marcus Smart, Rudy Gobert, Giannis, Mikal Bridges, and Jaren Jackson Jr. all on there.
Yep.
Any surprises for you there?
For me, Jaren Jackson over Bam. I thought Bam for sure was a no-brainer to make.
That's kind of surprising to me as well. The Mikal Bridges is
a beast.
He's good, but I mean, I'm still a homer. I take DeJounte Murray over him every day of the week.
Yeah, that's fair.
But they don't like DeJounte Murray because, you know what, he doesn't fall on the ground and act like his leg broke off.
All right.
He doesn't yell at the refs all the time. Jesus. Start yelling again. The all-rookie team, Scottie Barnes, of course, unanimous decision, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Franz Wagner, Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Anybody surprises no, there?
Wagner was a surprise. I didn't expect him to make it, but he's definitely deserving.
Yeah, he's definitely deserving there. And Reggie Bullock wins the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award.
I just thought that was cool.
Very cool thing. Also, it's interesting we like to say his name now because it's Bullock.
Is it Bullock?
Yes, it's Bullock. It is not Bullock. It is Bullock.
All right.
That was a thing that came out this playoffs, and he was like, hey, by the way, you've been saying my name wrong all these years? And they're like, oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well,
so we're just going to have to now really say it a lot and make a point that we're not crazy. So every game they say Bullock, and then they go, he told us to say it that we're not crazy. Let's go through these series.
I mean, we don't have to, but
we're going to. I mean, there's not much to say. Boston is destroying Miami right now, so they are going to go up in this series.
Let me ask you this.
The series up at 2-2.
Whoever, because of all the injuries in this series, on both sides, Miami and Boston, do you feel like it's basically the Western Conference?
No. I think the East can still win the finals easily because I don't think either of these Western Conference teams are great.
Mm.
And I think
he's sitting right there.
He's seen the same series we have, right? Yeah. Does your TV get a different parallel universe there, Ty? I don't know, but I'm just saying. Look, these have been lopsided victories. The Celtics, to me, are the most complete team if they are healthy.
Yes, 100%.
And that's going to be the thing. Is if Marcus Smart comes back, Robert Williams is playing right now, Al Horford is now back out of protocol, I think that that's the team, and we see it going. I mean, Jimmy Butler's injury is unfortunate. He has not looked like himself at all in this game.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he's able to rebound. It only takes it back to Boston being 2-2, but I had Boston winning this series. So I think that Boston goes ahead and wins, and they're still my favorite. I think the only team that beats Boston is Boston. Like, if they're injured or if they don't play, if Tatum decides to just disappear again, I don't think that either of these teams has a stopper that has stop enough guys. on Miami or Boston.
I don't know. Golden State looks like they're kind of coming in.
And so we'll talk to Dallas and Golden State. But this, so with Golden State, I think there's a couple issues. One, if Dallas hits threes, this is a 3-0 series the other way. They're getting so many wide open threes.
Okay.
It is horrible defense that Golden State is playing, and Dallas cannot take advantage of it. But the fact they're like, wow, they're playing really good defense. But I've never seen so many open threes miss. Mm. But they're wide open, guys flying at another player, and then the guy shooting a three, and they're just missing them all. But that's not good defense because you're not contesting shots. Mm. And so I get that they're playing, they have a good game plan, which is keep Dallas out of the paint.
Yeah.
Which is, we'll just collapse and make you shoot threes and beat us with threes. Dallas have been beating people all year long with it. Now it falls apart for them and they can't hit threes.
So I guess I already know my answer to this question, but this is not the best version of Draymond Green you've ever seen then, huh?
No. Draymond Green's fourth best player in the starting lineup.
I said, but the best version of him.
And no, there's not the best version of Draymond. This is not the best version of Klay Thompson. They are washed up former of
washed
themselves.
Up.
Draymond's not the best defender anymore. He still turns the ball over 10 times a game. But no, and he's also should get thrown out of every one of these games. You have to lay down the line. They give him a tech in every one of these games in the first quarter, and then he gets to do whatever he wants the rest of the games. They don't want to throw him out.
Okay, so then what does Dallas have to do to make the playoffs or to go further in the playoffs next year? Because it's clear.
All right, so first, hit your threes. That's,
okay.
Let's start there. No, they got to get perimeter. They have to get someone inside to play defense. They've done that for two or three years. They've been trying to get somebody in the paint. That's kind of what they were hoping Porzingis, that could get him to do that. Porzingis had no goal to ever play defense in the paint.
Let me throw this out to you. If they blow up this team, Gobert.
No, 100%. They've been trying to get Gobert. They've tried to trade for Gobert the last couple of years.
Ty? Gobert? No?
No.
Oh, well, excuse me.
He's just, I hate him so much.
Look, I get hating him. I know that Mark Cuban really has wanted him the last couple of years. He did get exposed a lot in this playoffs, but you do need a rim protector. I don't know where else they're going to be able to find that guy. Yeah. Rudy Gobert seems the easiest guy to find because a lot of people don't want to pay him. And, I mean, that's one that you're pretty much, you give up Bertans and you can match salary.
You know what? I mean, they're going to have to pay for him, but DeAndre Ayton. They're gonna have to pay for him.
Yeah, that's you have to give him a max
contract.
How about
that, Ty? Do you like that one? You agree with that one?
Yeah, but I just don't think that happens.
Oh, you're just in a bad mood. That is just that
man. I think it's just another year of Dwight Powell, man.
Another year of Dwight Powell. And man, Dwight Powell, if you want to see, that man is a magician because he disappeared when the playoffs started, and he has not been seen since. I mean. The only time you ever see a highlight with Dwight Powell, it's him knocking his own rebound out of bounds. It's the only thing I've noticed him doing.
And
during
he still
this
starts every game.
Because they have to have somebody in there
to
try
to body out.
Like, because who else do they have? They can put it center. Because if you put Bertans and Kleb out there, then you're like, well, just dunk on us all game.
Right.
So you have to put somebody, try and pretend that you're going to guard the basket. But I agree with you. They need to figure something out. And also, Kleb can't hit a three, so he's worthless out there now too.
Maybe some Boban time, game four.
Oh, man,
that's where we're at. Huh?
That is, when you start putting the guy who comes in garbage minutes in the starting lineup.
He has one of the best plus-minuses in league history.
He did try and start a fight at the end of the series, so maybe he can take out Draymond for me. Come on, Boban, do something good. is this a sweep, or does Dallas pull it together for one game?
I'll give them one game.
Ty?
Sweep.
Yeah,
he wants out of his misery.
No, I would think this, but this team has not been the most mentally tough team in this playoff series. They are a very young team as well. And I don't know if they're going to be able to put together that spark to.
Yeah.
I think they come out firing.
Sure. Okay.
And try really hard. I think they come out firing. But Golden State's just been consistent. You've seen Wiggins come out and have Wiggins have one of the best playoffs he's ever had. So, it's sad to say, but because I had Dallas winning the series.
Yeah, so did I. We all did.
We got
a little too excited about that one.
A little too excited. Maybe if you hit your threes, Dallas. The game plan's there. You got to hit your threes. If you live and die by the three, you really, really die by the three. Let's go over the Black Sports Spotlight of the Week. Anthony, what do you got for us this week?
All right. I actually really like this one. We're going to talk about Fergie Jenkins. So Ferguson Fergie Jenkins was born December 13th, 1942. He is a Canadian former baseball pitcher and coach. He played in the MLB from 1965 to 1983. He was the NL Cy Young Award winner in 1971, making him the first Canadian and Cubs pitcher to win the award. He was a 20-game winner for seven seasons, six consecutively. His six consecutive is the longest streak since Warren Spain. His 284 victories are the most by any black pitcher in the MLB. He led the league in wins twice, fewest walks five times, complete games nine times, and home runs allowed seven times. He's one of four pitchers to ever record more than 3,000 strikeouts with fewer than 1,000 walks. He's considered the anchor of the 12 Black Aces, who we will highlight next week, but was a group of pitchers, black pitchers, with at least 20 wins in one season. His jersey was retired by the Chicago Cubs. They recently unveiled a statue of him outside Wrigley Field. And on top of that, just for fun, he played with the Harlem Globetrotters in the offseason. So, salute to Fergie Jenkins.
There you go. Helps if I turn my mic
up. Got to turn it on there, buddy.
Salute to Fergie Jenkins. Thank you, Anthony, for that. Now it's time to go over to Top Shelf, Bottom Shelf. Every week, Anthony tells me if we – it gives me a bunch of news stories, and I will tell you if they are Top Shelf, Grade A. Mavs going to win the series, booze! Our Bottom Shelf Draymond's having his best year ever, booze.
What
terrible
take.
What a horrible take, Draymond. We just say Draymond doesn't belong. I don't – the only thing I hate is I'm going to have to watch this guy on TNT for the next 20 years because he's going to act like he's the next Barkley when he's never been the third best player on his own team.
See, this is what happens when you poke the bear. I played around too much and said Draymond Green's name, and now we're here.
This is what happens.
Are you ready for this?
You can join us on the text line 512-337-3776. Anthony, what's the first story?
All right, I'm going to give you the good one. The Spurs to play several games away from the AT&T Center, including the Alamo Dome, Mexico, and two in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, this is awesome. It's a good way to try and get fans when you're, you know, you're not necessarily competing for anything huge where you need a home court advantage on every game, but you get to expand your fan base. I know some people appeal in San Antonio were scared about it, that the team's leaving.
Yeah.
The owner, which is now the son of Peter Holt, it's Peter Holt Jr., I believe, is running it. He wrote a nice letter. It's like, man, look, I grew up here. I'm from here. I'm a San Antonio guy. The team's staying in San Antonio. But we need to get our fans. We need to make sure we don't lose Austin as a market, that we're their NBA market. We don't want the Rockets or Mavs taking all our Austin people. We want to go to Mexico, and we want to be there because we lost it. Once Manu retired, you lose a little bit of the Latin fans. So let's go get Mexico back. And then we're going to play over the Alamo Dome, have a huge game, probably give out, hopefully, cheap ticket prices too,
right,
and try and put a ton of people into a stadium or an arena
right.
stadium, and it'll be a really fun thing. So I'm excited
for it.
It's
a smart move, yeah. All right, let's go for the trifecta of rants. The Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher feud.
It's hilarious because, first of all, Nick Saban didn't know he was like going to be viral for what he said. If you watch the original video, it's somebody else filming it and puts it out because they realize like, oh, this is controversial what he's saying. He was just trying to raise money.
Yeah.
He was basically saying, hey guys, we got to raise more money. We got to get money to get these players because other guys are getting them. He didn't really say anything wrong. And then Dion and Jimbo Fisher come and go, that's complete lies. You're like, what? Why did you not discredit this when it came out? Because you knew that it was true, and you're like, oh, yeah, we want to tell everybody that we're the home for name, image, and likeness, and if you want to get paid, come here. You want to tell people that because it helps you in your recruiting. And then it comes out, and you have to go, no, we didn't do anything. And we played an interview earlier today where Jimbo seems crazy. And he's even got, like, his media person beside him being like, hey, and he's like, I got it. I get it. And if you're an Aggie fan, you probably love all this because he's defending your team.
Yeah.
But look, I don't have a problem with the players getting paid. I don't care about any of this. I don't think there's anything illegal happening. I know it's immoral or against the rules or whatever you want to say that you're not supposed to promise them before. Everyone is doing it. Everyone's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
I'd rather they get the money over the table. I would rather they get the money instead of, you know, coaches and everything else that screw them over. I'd rather the players make the dumb decisions than other people do it for them. So I'm fine with all of the money. I'm fine with it. But stop being like pretending that everybody wanted to go to A&M and everybody wants to go to these towns that they definitely didn't want to go to.
Yeah.
No, they want it. They think it's going to be a good program, but they wanted the money. I don't blame them. It's just hilarious that they're all having this fight and then Texas and Oklahoma are like, oh, this is going to be fun. Let's jump in.
All right, Matt Harvey suspended 60 games for distributing oxycodone.
Now, this is sad.
Now, here's the thing. They're just using a fancy word for a drug dealer. This drug dealer is only getting suspended for 60 games. Let's call it what it is. That's insane, right?
Well, so he wasn't the dealer, though.
He was just...
He was handing out the stuff on the street.
Yeah.
No, because they banned the guy who was the main guy. Like, he's done, but he was an equipment guy. No, he's also an older guy, so I don't know if he's ever going to really come back and play much more after it all. I do think
lifetime
he should have been suspended.
Come on.
I wouldn't go lifetime ban because I hate lifetime bans.
You just said he's old, so if he's not going to play...
No, I get that, but I'd say for a year. Say, right. Take him out for the whole year. I would have gone. I don't like lifetime bans because I think... Like we see with Pete Rose, the game completely
changes. You know
what?
That's fair. I forgot about
it. And you're like, well, when everything changes, it looks stupid when you're like, hey, guys, check out our DraftKings lobby. Also, Pete Rose is a cheater.
Oh, so like, you're saying the future, there's going to be tons of drug dealers in the baseball?
I don't know. It's going to be hard to beat the 90s. Let's do two more real quick.
All right, NBA discussing updating transition take foul.
I say that one more time.
The NBA is discussing updating the transition.
Oh, the transition take foul. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. It's silly, but it's gonna suck because you're just trained to do it. Like your instinctual way, because of how everybody came up playing basketball, is if a guy's going on a fast break, you just reach out and stop him because you don't want him to get the momentum boost. I get that they want the highlights, so that's why they want to do it. It's why they're calling flagrants for people fouling everything, but. I don't really care either way, but it's, you know, let them have it if they want to change it. I'm just glad they changed the rules with James Harden. Just happy about that.
All right, the Reds don't allow a hit but lose 1-0 to the Pirates. What's worse, losing that way or giving up 9 runs in the ninth to lose a game? Both those things happened this
year. Yeah, a no-hitter. Then giving up the no-hitter. Because then you can really get mad at your team. If you gave up 9 runs... In the ninth, I think
at least the offense did their
That was probably a multiple. Like people in the fielding probably didn't do their job. Like it was a team effort to lose 9. It's one like you're like man, the pitcher did such a good job. I don't think anyone did a good job when you lose 9 runs.
Yeah.
Like no, everyone did a bad job. One guy did a great job and got nothing.
Yeah, it's
all
a bummer.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll do some... Oh, well, you know what? Let's mention the question of the week. It's on our Instant Series. On Twitter, on Instagram, you can go and check it out. Our question of the week this week is, who has been the worst number one overall pick in the NBA draft since 2000? There's a couple names up there. Kwame Brown, Greg Oden, Anthony Bennett, Markelle Fultz. I know my vote's Anthony Bennett. He was just god-awful. All the reports were that he didn't care.
Yeah.
And he basically never practiced and never cared and then made it to the NBA. And for whatever reason, they drafted a guy who never cared and they thought that he could change him, and he just did not.
Mine is Kwame Brown, just based off of the potential and the hype that he got. Now, I understand he got squandered by MJ just destroying his
confidence. But you got to have some confidence, man. You're 6'11".
Yeah.
Have some confidence. Don't come from me, though.
Yeah.
You're huge. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll do some Insta Series news and wrap things up here on Insta Series on the Horn 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260.
Summer heat is
on
my feet.
Insta Series here on the Horn. It's time for some Insta Series news. Anthony, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, finally, Eastern Washington University is launching a professional certificate program in craft beer. Yes. They are offering a program that will get you a certificate. You are ready to craft beer. They say there is a lot of need for people in craft breweries. Mm. People want to make more craft brew. Everything about craft breweries. Oh, geez. All right.
That's how I feel about craft brewers.
I agree. But I want to know, like, if you had a craft brewery, if you had a class that you could take, you know, because now they're starting to try and find classes for people to be like, look, you know, not everybody wants to take the traditional classes, so let's find something new.
Yep.
What would you go back to school for?
I would want to go to a class that taught me how to con people, how they con people into going to school and spending all their money on this unneeded
You know what?
Education.
I'm with you. Ty, would you have any classes you'd go to?
Well, I'm still trying to finish mine right now, so I'll
wait. A man in Japan gambled all of a COVID town's fund mistakenly sent to him. They funded, I think it's around $300,000 to this guy's account accidentally. He then took the money and gambled it all away, lost most of it. And they were like, hey, you need to get the money back. He's like, no. Okay. I didn't know that was a thing. Just no. Have you ever been completely wrong and didn't care?
If you just refer to any of our previous episodes, and there it is.
There's an excuse. I've never been wrong. Try and prove me wrong by going back and listening on hornfm.com to our previous episodes. And follow our social media at InstantSerious. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're off next week for Memorial Day, so everyone be safe out there this weekend. But for Ty Henderson behind the glass, Anthony White, I am Patrick Davis saying keep your underwear clean, and we'll see you next week. Peace.